And welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, the 10th of March, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We're live weekday mornings from 9 to 10, and the program re-airs from 7 to 8 in the evening here on KJLL. The lineup for today's show is a very good one. Newsmaker interview to start things off with David Modier. Mr. Modier is head of the Central Arizona Project. Then we'll talk whether it is safe to visit Rocky Point over spring break. At the bottom of the hour, Raj Kohli joins us. He'll give us an update on his Fountain Plaza idea for downtown Tucson. Then we close out the show with a preview of the upcoming Railroad Silver Spike Festival at the historic Tucson Depot, reenactment of the arrival of the first train to Tucson 131 years ago this month. Our show is primarily interview-driven, but there's always room for listener comments and questions. Our Buckmaster Show live line is 529-3508. Well, the Northern Rockies have been hammered with enough snow this year that it might be possible to delay shortages of Colorado River water for Arizona water users for a few years. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, David Modier. Mr. Modier is the former head of Tucson Water. He's now the general manager of the Central Arizona Project based up in Phoenix. Mr. Modier, good to talk with you.
Well, it's good to talk with you again, Bill. Appreciate it.
Well, we're delighted to have you on our new radio show, and we're very curious. We're in the drought here, as you know, in southern Arizona. We've had less than a quarter of an inch so far this year, but I guess when you look at the snowpack, things look very optimistic in the Rockies, huh?
Bill, that's very correct. It's a very different picture in Colorado this year in the upper levels of the Colorado River water than it is in southern Arizona. You know, right now, where it looks very good. We had some projections a couple of weeks ago about around 105% of normal runoff, and we've had several storms move through the Rockies in the past 10 days, and I think the next formal projection will probably show that we'll even have a little higher spring runoff than anticipated. Now, the snow cover is much larger than that above normal, but the water content of the snow leads us to somewhere around 105 to 107% of normal, which is very good in terms of our ability to assure that we can not have a water shortage affecting Arizona for a bit more time than we originally projected.
Last year, there was a very low snowpack, and the runoff sent Lake Mead at the Arizona-Nevada border to its lowest level since 1937, almost 1,100 feet below sea level. How is it looking now?
Well, right now, the projection for the end of this year, January 1st, 2012, is that Lake Mead will finish at a level of 111.5 feet. And that's up from the earlier projection, so that's very positive. We believe there'll be what's called an equalization release from Lake Powell, which the normal release from Lake Powell to Lake Mead is about 8.2 million acre feet, and we're projecting about 11.3 million acre feet being released this year. And that there's a 97.8% probability of that happening, so we're certain that it's going to happen. And that then, just that alone, will push the probability of a shortage out to about 2015. But there's even better projections beyond that right now.
Let's talk a little bit about the Central Arizona Project. You've been up there, is it 2 years now?
That is correct. A little over 2 years in Phoenix.
Overall, how is the CAP? What kind of shape are we in? And we're so dependent, as you know, here on CAP water.
Well, I think water supply is, I think we're in good shape. And particularly when it comes to cities like Tucson's ability to use CAP water over the long term, even the onset of a shortage would not impact the city of Tucson or other municipal users either, because currently there's a significant amount of water that is being used by agricultural interests as the cities begin and continue to ramp up their usage of their allocations. So we probably have in the neighborhood of 500,000, 600,000 acre foot of water that we would short first before it ever gets down to municipal interest. And then plus we've banked well over 4 million acre feet of water in the ground, which we will begin to draw on as that water begins to impact municipalities in order to offset the shortages that may be coming from a shortage declaration on the river. So for Tucson, it probably means that you're at least 12 to 15 years under worse conditions before you would see any reduction in the amount of CAP water that could be taken by the city of Tucson and the other municipal users in southern Arizona.
It's 12 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show on KJLL. David Modier is the director of the Central Arizona Project. David, Val Little, who you know, is the director of the Water Conservation Alliance of Southern Arizona. She was quoted in a recent piece about the future water options as saying, "I think we're about to have a big, big episode of sticker shock." So how does the cost factor look for water users in Southern Arizona?
Well, it's a very iffy outlook in terms of price, and that much of that is based upon some occurrences that are not related to actual water supply, although they're very much linked, and that's the cost of the power to move the water uphill 3,000 feet till it gets down to just south of Tucson. And right now we're undergoing a regulatory review of our almost sole source of power, the Navajo Generating Station, and the threat to that through the regulatory process is substantial. There are scenarios regarding the outcome of that regulatory process that could result in the closure of NGS by the owners over the next 10 years or so if it goes in the worst direction that could possibly go, and that would increase prices for water 200% to 400%. Because of the having to go on the open market for power. If we get the most opportune results out of this regulatory process, I think you're looking at probably a 20-25% increase in power over the next increase in water prices over the next 5 years because of the higher cost of producing that power. So I think not even considering shortages and the need to acquire additional water supplies and that, you will see the price of water rise and likely rise somewhat significantly over the next 5 to 10 years.
The ground, the quality of the groundwater, the deeper we go, David, the worse it gets. Is that a generalization, though, that is fairly accurate?
Yes, I think that's fairly accurate, and we saw that at the time I was in Tucson, that in our areas where our wells were deeper in the ground, the water quality was substantially different than where we were taking water out closer to the surface by a substantial margin. So, yes, I think it's generally true that the deeper you go after water, the longer the water has resided there, and the more minerals and other things that are in the ground dissolve themselves into the water.
What about the drought here in southern Arizona? I know you up in Phoenix, actually it's been pretty much all over Arizona, hasn't it? It's been really a terrible kind of a rain-producing year. Is that going to impact us in any regards short-term?
Well, I think that it hasn't been as bad in the northern tier of the state as it has been in southern Arizona. I think we're fairly close to normal here in Phoenix area, maybe slightly below. And I think that the snowpack in northern Arizona has, while not as good as it was last year, I think it's still going to result in the reservoirs in the Phoenix area on the Salt River Project remaining full. So I don't think it's going to impact Arizona and the Phoenix area this year. And I think certainly for Tucson, the continued full supply of Colorado River water is still going to mean that the water supplies are going to be good for southern Arizona. I think if you're existing on groundwater alone, I think you're going to continue to see your groundwater levels drop. And I think that's not good for either local conditions or for the state water policy.
David Modier, how fierce is the competition among the states? Let's see, Nevada, you have not Nevada, California, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, of course. Did I leave somebody out there in the mix?
No, I think there's two levels, what I would call, of competition. One is obviously the competition between the three lower basin states, which is California, Arizona, and Nevada, because we're the only portion of the seven basin states that where the Interior Department is the water master. The Secretary of the Interior is not the water master in the upper basin states, and those are New Mexico, Utah, Colorado, and Wyoming. And then there's a competition between the upper and the lower basin. The lower basin has different situations regarding their water supply and obligations to the lower basin states that are different than what we have in the lower basin states. So there's two levels of competition. However, I would say on the positive side, there has been a great deal of cooperative efforts, and there continues to be a lot of cooperative efforts ongoing among all of the seven states to make every effort possible to keep Lake Mead from going into a shortage criteria. In other words, reaching the lower levels of 1075 where a shortage declaration would be made. No one wants to see that happen. It has an impact on the upper basin states, and it certainly does for Arizona and the lower basin states that we begin to take the brunt of that shortage. So there are a lot of good cooperative efforts. I think that, you know, there's probably a time in the future where that competition is going to be more intense, and maybe this level of cooperation won't last. When we get into a shortage and it goes on for a long period of time, then I think we're all going to fall back to the situation in which we have to protect our own interest, and that may not be where any of us want to go, but it may be something that could be, in serious drought, a unavoidable happening.
Okay, David Modier, former Tucson Water Director, now heads the General Manager of the Central Arizona Project in Phoenix. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us on the Buckmaster Show.
A pleasure, Bill. It's always good to talk with you.
Thank you so much. David Modier talking with us from Phoenix, and we do apologize that phone line was a little bit funky, and David was calling from a landline, so we're a little surprised that the line was not a little bit better. But hey, this is live radio. You know, you never know what you're going to get. It's about 20 minutes, coming up on 20 minutes past the hour. We'll be back in a moment.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
It's 24 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Next on the Buckmaster Show is Rocky Point, Puerto Panasco, safe for spring breakers. That's the question the Arizona Republic asked on the front page of its travel section last Sunday. That article pointed out that Rocky Point is far from the heaviest center of drug violence, but it hasn't been immune. There have been fake highway checkpoints and the shooting last June of Rocky Point's police chief. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, our contributor on the border, Keith Rosenblum. He's a former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star. Keith is founder of the website MexLink. Keith, how you doing?
Hi, Bill. Good morning.
Well, is Rocky Point safe?
Well, statistically, every place is safe. if I told you that someone in Tucson today, that a meteor was going to fall on somebody, would you be fearful? The fact is that I'm now, I was in Hermosillo yesterday, and family and friends and my world and all the these people I've been interviewing lately at the twin plants in Empalme and Guaymas and Nogales and Sonoita and Rocky Point go to and from, and they don't give that a thought. They don't even think, is that a factor in my life, because I need to do it. When you talk about vacations, you talk about something slightly different. It's like I could go to San Diego, or I could go to Albuquerque, or I could go to Florida. But let's start with just raw numbers. The possibility of anything happening to you going to Mexico anywhere is so infinitesimal. On the other hand, all it takes, as we are a kind of xenophobic society, all it takes is one story from some little town in rural Mexico to spook us. And in some ways, we're unique in that way. But anyway, back to Rocky Point specifically, I wouldn't give it a second thought. There's no, there's any fear when it comes to Sonora right now is a an irrational one, and I'd go, and I will be going in a second. That said, you know, these are still weird times in Mexico, and you don't want to go, but you don't want to do this in the best of times. You don't want to be going off to strange areas and looking for trouble, or trouble will find you. But I wouldn't give it a second thought.
Keith Rosenblum is on the Buckmaster Show live line. He covers the border for us. Keith, I was looking at some crime figures, and they really show the level of violence varies just so wildly across Mexico. I mean, you have the homicide rate in the border state of Chihuahua last year was a horrifying 74 per 100,000. Then levels in like Yucatan, Baja California Sur, where Los Cabos and the other resorts, very low.
Bill, one of these days you'll cut me off for sounding like a parrot. Because you'll say, Keith, you keep repeating the same stuff, but let me do it, okay?
Go ahead.
The Mexicans are involved in a proxy war on our behalf, okay? Mexico's drug problem itself is minor. It's not nothing, but it's minor. The Mexicans are fighting a battle to keep our pot and our coke and our drugs at a reasonable street price, okay? What that means is that there will be violence as people continue to fight for routes to do that, because that's where the country is right now. President Calderon has made decisions that have all of a sudden made different routes harder to get to, and he's changed the dynamic. What that means is that of that 35,000 figure, not that this should be comforting, because one life lost is one innocent life lost is a wrong one, and a non-innocent life is a sad one anyway. But the fact is that of that, these numbers that people keep bandying about, you know, 30,000, 35,000, 90% have their fingers in the pot. 10%, if that, are caught, are somehow innocent. But this is what happens. This is the Purple Gang. This is Detroit and Chicago in the 40s or 50s, the 30s and 40s. As long as there's a market for drugs, there will continue to be violence along the routes. The routes right now are in Mexico. Maybe one day it'll be Panama again. Maybe one day it'll be some other place. But Mexico right now is the way to do it. And so some innocents along the way are going to pay the price.
Well, in the remaining minute and a half, you want to talk about some good news in Mexico? You said you were just down there covering some business-related items.
Dollar for dollar, I think I put my money in Mexico today. I've been spending a bunch of time of late at the Maquilas Tetacawi plants in Palme and Guaymas, Sonora. The company employs maybe, I don't even know the numbers, but let's say 12, 13, 14,000 workers. And I'll tell you something, there's nothing as spiriting or as encouraging than to be in these plants where people are making very sophisticated parts for aircraft, for medical industry, and you see a part of Mexico that never gets any attention at all, and that is a booming economy and a very, you know, optimistic, can-do world. And for me, these are the types of stories that I just love to write about. I could tell you about Ford Motor Company's plant and how they keep hiring more and more people, and that Ford edged out Toyota.
Got to run.
You know, in the quality. Okay, very good. Thank
Keith
you for
Rosenblum, thank you. And we'll talk maybe some more good business news coming up. Thanks,
good. My
Keith.
Pleasure, Bill. Okay. Thanks for the opportunity.
Right. Thank you.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Breaking news, Wisconsin's Capitol building is locked down after protesters started banging on windows. They're upset the state Senate approved limits on collective bargaining for public employees. Hearings are underway in Washington to discuss what Congressman Peter King calls the radicalization of Muslim Americans. King responded to his critics at the start of today's hearing.
There is nothing radical or un-American in holding these hearings.
However, Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison, who is Muslim, says this will feed into stereotypes. The government says almost 400,000 people filed for unemployment benefits for the first time last week. It was more than expected. America's trade gap got a lot wider in January. The government says the deficit grew to a five-month high of over $46 billion. And it's a rough day on Wall Street. The Dow right now is down 175 points. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Ford Service presents Mike Rowe talking about getting to work.
No, that's wrong.
Why don't you just tell us what you're talking about then?
I'm talking about getting the works at a Ford dealership.
Ah, the works is an oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
See, now you're talking about the works.
Well, with the works, there's a lot to talk about.
Visit your Ford dealer and see if the works for you.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating dealership for rebate details through 3/31/11.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
It's 35 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. Well, is downtown Tucson ready for a Las Vegas, kind of like a Bellagio hotel-style fountain, complete with illuminated geysers of water shooting skyward in sync with music, surrounded by beautiful restaurants, a couple of nightclubs, some office space, and condominiums? Well, local real estate agent and talk show host Raj Kohli think so. Mr. Kohli is an agent for Keller Williams Realty. He's the host of the Homes and More, very popular talk show on Friday afternoons at 4 o'clock here on KJLL AM 1330. Raj Kohli, good to see you.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks.
You have been talking about the downtown Tucson Plaza now, the idea for a couple of years. Really, in all seriousness, you've put a lot of your own personal money into this, haven't you, over the last couple of years?
I have. I think it's cost me in spending, lost business, et cetera, 150 grand at least.
I'm looking at a beautiful, beautiful illustration of what you have in mind. And it's basically you've got I-10, the boundaries of this, Cushing Street, I-10, Frontage Road, Congress, and Church. This would be a beautiful plaza built around this stage and this area that would be where you'd have offices, condos, parking. Why has the city basically turned its back on you and this proposal?
Well, I'm not a politician. I'm not an insider. You know, it's all about politics. The way I see it is, it has nothing to do with Tucson or trying to do something for Tucson. It has to do with, I'm not a power broker in this town. If you look at the fact that Rio Nuevo has given Humberto Lopez 2 one-hour opportunities, they won't even give me the time of day. If I said right now it's 9:35 in Tucson, they would say, no, we will not answer that question.
Gone before the Tucson City Council and made a formal presentation?
I have not. Actually, I've talked to Bob Walker one time, and he just poo-pooed everything and said, the hotel is a done deal. Forget it. Don't waste my time. And that was before, of course, the vote came down, and it was 7-0. And I think that I would like to get an opportunity through the city. And you know, about 2 weeks ago when I spoke here, had another guest on the show, Paul Cunningham, to get to Rio Nuevo to get an audience. I need 2 city council members to help me get an audience with the Rio Nuevo board. I thought it was a public entity. Whatever happened to openness in public entity? Humberto Lopez could get 1 hour twice. And his idea was only his hotel, had nothing to do with the Rio Nuevo entire project. Mine covers the whole city block that you described.
Yeah, the city block. And what's the cost of this? And is there a concern, Raj, about the water that would be used in the fountain?
Well, first off, the cost, my estimate is $300 to $350 million. Okay. Of course, those numbers can differ. Everybody has different ideas, and it depends upon how you end up, you know, planning the project. Now, as far as water is concerned, you know, I'm a real estate agent. You build one subdivision, so much water is used. This is one fountain that only goes off 4 times in the evening. And then if you want to have a smaller fountain within the fountain, which is what I'm planning, then, you know, it will be there. But also remember, downtown is always called a heat island, and this would certainly do a lot to reduce that. And the thing is about the issue, you know, this water issue is not the primary issue. The primary issue, what are we doing downtown? What are we going to do to make downtown attractive? And water has always been the essence of life and always will be.
Yeah, look at every major city. There's usually a river, isn't there?
Exactly.
Or a lake or an ocean close by.
And you know, the thing that we are missing out big time, we have 4 million Mexicans who come to Tucson every year to shop. They love plazas. We know that. We have a built-in audience just from that. If you get, I'm assuming 25%. I talked to somebody else, a lady who knows Mexico. She says 90% people will go there. Now, just think about it. 90% would be almost 4 million people. You show me one idea that the city has or anybody else has that could bring even half of that. Let's say 1 million people. That's what I'm proposing in my plan. Nobody has an idea. And the idea is, let me give a little brief on this, if that's okay. The city square that we're talking about is...
And who owns that land right now, Raj?
Most of it is owned by the city and Rio Nuevo. And there's a small portion owned by Alan Norville. And that's near the federal building. Now, the idea is that if we take the city block from Church to Cushing to the freeway to Congress, the only building that would be replaced in this entire structure is the current convention center. So that would be replaced by a structure that's about 30 stories high with 500 hotel rooms, about 5 levels of parking, 4,000 parking in there, and 2,000 under the plaza. So we have 6,000 car parking. We have a convention center that accommodates 10,000 people. And if Humberto Lopez keeps his hotels or somebody else buys it, and keeps those hotel and have another hotel there, we could use a 60-foot skywalk, connect with that, and have stores within the skywalk. On the side of Church and Cushing, we would have retail stores that are not demonstrated in this illustration I have in front of you. Those would be retail stores. On the inside part of the plaza, we'd have restaurants, nightclubs, department stores, some grocery store. We'll have places for an art gallery and spaces in between for artists to perform.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that because we are a bit short on time, Raj, that you're running out of time on this deal. If you don't get some action, I would say in 90 days, it's over.
Well, and that's the sad part. I mean, in Tucson, it's all about who has power, who has money. And I thought that we were a democracy. I'm not sure, Bill. I mean, democracy means everybody gets a chance to present their idea. Now, if I have an idea that makes sense, why not at least discuss it? The power brokers don't even want it discussed. Why? Because they don't make the money in this plan. The people who make money are the ones who can dictate what goes in and what doesn't. And the reality is that when you have a beautiful fountain like the Bellagio-style fountain, it will attract people. We will have economic development. We will have people who will want to locate in Tucson, and we will have a lifestyle we can offer to Tucsonans as well. Now, we have this streetcar going to nowhere right now, and we could have a tremendous benefit with this plaza.
Raj, could you take a phone call from Catherine right now? Catherine, go ahead. You're on the Buckmaster Show with Raj Kohli in the Tucson Fountain Plaza.
Hi, Catherine.
Good morning. Raj, I'm going to get on your case again. I think you should run for mayor. You're better than any of the other prospective candidates. You care more passionately about Tucson. You're smart as a whip, and I think Tucson needs you.
Well, you know, again, this is politics. I'm not a politician, as I mentioned before. And, you know, I would love to be able to get this thing happen. It's not about me being a politician or having power, because I think it's a power play right here. What people are saying is they want to do what they want to do. And they don't have a plan that's comprehensive like mine, because mine brings into retail, it brings in residential, it brings in businesses, and it brings in condos and hotel conventions all in one package, including a beautiful place where you can have a large stage. Kathy, imagine we could have a Tucson Meet Yourself type of environment every single day in Tucson, and we could enjoy life.
Let's put it this way. So can we consider this your announcement speech that you're running for mayor then?
No, Kathy, I'm not a politician, but thanks for the thought.
Okay.
But thank you so much calling, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, Raj, what is your next and what might be really, as I said, almost a last-ditch effort here?
Well, here's the thing. You know, we get what we deserve. If people in this town are not going to get behind me, and if they're not going to push for something comprehensive, we're not going to get it. And we're going to get another idea like the university coming up with, we want to put something here. Somebody, I heard Paul Cunningham saying, we want to bring in some sports facility here. That's not what needed downtown. I mean, it's outrageous. It's outrageous that in this town, we cannot come up with an idea that makes sense. My idea, I believe, makes a lot of sense. All I want is discussed. I'm not even saying implemented. Talk about it, tear it apart. Let's discuss it, figure out if this makes economic sense. If it doesn't, let's move forward. I even have, by the way, an individual who's been bugging me to fund this project.
Really?
How many people in this town can say that?
Yeah. And if folks would like more information, it's www.tucsonfountainplaza.com.
Correct. And feel free to call me, by the way. My number is 891-9119, 891-9119. I'll take calls, and folks, here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to start going to the city council and speak to the city council in the call to the audience, because that's the only way I'll get on their agenda. And if you are supportive of this, come and follow me. Follow right behind me and say, we support it. Listen to this. We support it. Listen to this. That's what I can do on my own. And if I put $150,000 of my own money and I can't get the people in the city to support me, then maybe the idea is worth nothing, because that's what it will be if we don't stand up and be counted. And I don't know why, but Tucson people are not as proactive. And I would like to have people give me a call and support me at 891-9119.
Okay, Raj Kohli. Raj has been pushing the Tucson Fountain Plaza project, and he says now his next step, he will go to the call to audience where everyone in Tucson gets a couple of minutes, and that you will basically, from what I'm hearing, Raj, you're going to confront now the city council with this.
I have no choice. I mean, it seems to me like that's the only way to do it, because I don't have the power or the authority. I'm not rich like a lot of other people. So if people want to support me, please come down and call me and go to the TucsonFountainPlaza.com website and tell me that you want to connect with me, and we'll connect.
Okay, Raj Kohli, thank you very much. And we'll look forward to your program, 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, the Homes and More Show. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Bye-bye. It's coming up now in 46 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking a little bit of a Tucson history. That's coming up next with Ken Scoville, the contributor to the Buckmaster Show on history. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroAmorePizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub. It's about 50 minutes now past the hour. It was 131 years ago this month that the first train arrived in the old Pueblo, and of course Tucson would never be the same. Coming up on Sunday, March 20th at 11 a.m., everyone is invited to the Railroad Silver Spike Festival at the historic Tucson Train Depot downtown. There are two history talks that will be sponsored by the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum leading up to the March 20th reenactment celebration. One of the talks features Buckmaster Show contributor on local history, Ken Scoville. Mr. Scoville's a native Arizonan. He's been a teacher in Tucson for many years. He's written extensively on Tucson's history. Ken Scoville, good to see you.
Good morning, Bill.
And you'll be speaking this Sunday afternoon at 3 in the afternoon, the topic Trains and Automobiles in Tucson, How Fashion and Freedom Transformed the Old Pueblo.
Oh, yes. And in fact, I think for all of us, whenever there's a change in transportation, how much it changes the place we live. And I think for most of us today, you probably remember when the interstate freeway came through and all the changes with that. But with the railroad coming into town, we would see everything change in Tucson, from architecture to just the way of life.
you have to wonder, well, there's another kind of train coming through. That will be the modern streetcar. You wonder if that's going to change downtown.
Oh, I know it will. In fact, I have some concerns from a historic preservation standpoint. But in fact, one other sidebar just for a second. When we put the new 4th Avenue underpass, when we built the original one in 1916, it was for people to get out of downtown. The new one was to bring people back downtown.
To bring them back.
So yeah. That was.
And a little another sidebar, you were listening to Raj Kohli talk about the Tucson Plaza project that he's been pushing, and of course water would be the centerpiece. And you were telling me right before we went on that we have had some boating in downtown Tucson
in the past. One of our great Mexican businessman, Leopoldo Carrillo. He had Carrillo Gardens, and we had a man-made lake, and people went boating. There were rose bushes all over, and it was a major place for people to hang out in the 1880s.
Getting back to your talk, it will be free, and it's in the Parkwise Conference Room. Where is that? That's 6th Avenue in Pennington?
Right, Pennington and Scott, where the big new sort of Art Deco parking garage is. The main floor has offices and a restaurant, Poca Cosa there.
And the idea was to kind of, in advance of the March 20th event, for you, and I believe there's also a talk, Dave Devine, who's
correct,
written a lot about transportation and the Transportation Museum. He has a talk on March the 15th, Auto Travel Adventure, a 1920s trip across southern Arizona, and his talk is at 3 o'clock, I believe, as well in the afternoon.
Right.
Let's talk now about the train coming to Tucson. In February 1880, Mayor Leatherwood, that sounds perfect for a western town, doesn't it?
Well, in fact, he had a major corral and stables here in town, and he was very civically involved. He was on the city council, and he was a very important person being involved with the railroad actually coming into Tucson. Railroads coming to any community are extremely important, and he was involved with the alignment. And the alignment that you see for the train today is the same one that was being planned out in 1877. The city had to pass bonds to buy the land and do the other improvements and get plans for the railroad depot and all of that. It's really interesting. There was a lot of anticipation, but also for those of us who live in Tucson today, we know about the rumor mill. Well, in 1879, even as late as 1879, people kept hearing rumors that the train was going to bypass Tucson, that it was going to go to a place called Benson, and everybody was worried that we weren't going to get a train stop.
So there was a little bit of negativity even in those
days. Oh, sure.
But the Chariot of Fire, as it was called, did arrive 131 years ago. There were a lot of, I guess, some ironies that were connected to that event.
Well, I think that one of my favorite ironies, and being a person that's done a lot of research on Tucson, the biggest event for at least the 19th century in Tucson, and because the train actually came in early, came in about an hour early. So all the dignitaries
So
Bob Leatherwood's essentially running down Congress Street, tucking his jacket and his shirt in. But everybody forgot their camera. And there are no pictures of the biggest event in Tucson's history.
So they had to reenact. Somebody then would reenact this for the camera, or was there?
No, there are
no pictures.
There's no pictures of the arrival of the railroad in Tucson, and with Mr. Crocker, one of the big four of the railroad people, barons, and all these events and the speakers. No pictures.
It really changed the architecture too of Tucson, didn't it?
Well, prior to 1880, Tucson was a nice little adobe village. Everybody built their own houses, got the roofs over their heads. But the railroad comes in, and now you can bring materials from the east. So you had all dimension lumber, brick, and everybody that would come to Tucson, especially after the arrival of the railroad, loved the winter weather like we're having right now, but they wanted their house and their front landscape to look like they were from Michigan, from Iowa, from California, anywhere else.
So there really were some, it changed the whole way of the way residents looked at their lives, didn't it?
Well, this was the time prior to 1880, you had to survive. The Apache issue, all the other things, water issues. We didn't have really plumbed water into Tucson until about 1885, 86. So it's almost like a third world country. But once the railroad comes in, fashion becomes important. How you dress, the kind of house you have. You would rather have a house, a Victorian house that was hotter in the summer, colder in the winter, but look fashionable. Really? And
yeah,
we're still sort of doing that today.
And the whole growth issue surfaces, too, when the railroad came to town.
Well, I think people saw the potential. We were finally connected to the outside world, and then everybody else would come, get off even just for a visit, discover our weather. And the weather is always the hook for Tucson, would discover the weather, and people would come here. Tucson had always been a major freighting connection, even from when the pack mule trains, and one of the main people at the event was a Mr. Ochoa, Esteban Ochoa, and he was involved with bringing all the pack mule train supplies out from Yuma. That, and his life would forever change, and I like to think he probably knew it. He was such a booster for Tucson, but he went out of business in 6 months. Because all the new merchants could bring things in on the railroad every 4 or 5 days. They didn't have to inventory things.
Is the site now of our depot downtown, is that the original site when this train arrived?
Yes, it's pretty close to the original site. We had actually, and like everything else in Tucson, the depot was not finished in time, so the depot wasn't completed for the formal ceremonial train. But the first depot was out of wood, and surprise, surprise, it caught on fire. And we also had a hotel, the Porter Hotel, that later was renamed the San Javier. But our 1907 train station is still there, and in fact is sort of the guts of what we see of the train station today.
What about the historic locomotive? I think it's 1673.
That was, as I remember, was given to the city of Tucson in the 1950s. The locomotive's famous. In fact, there's a movie coming up with the railroad event, Oklahoma, which was filmed in southern Arizona. The locomotive you see on display there was the locomotive in the movie Oklahoma.
So that event is going to be at 11 a.m. on March the 20th, and that is the actual anniversary day.
Right, the actual anniversary day.
How do you like what they've done with the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum?
Oh, it is just a wonderful train museum. What I do walking tours downtown, when I do the Congress Street Walk, we end up at the Transportation Museum. It's a great look about how the railroad affected Tucson community, but I think for visitors and people from somewhere else, they can always reflect about their town and how the railroad, for the most part, changed their town also.
And the restoration of the depot looks good, doesn't it?
I think so. I was actually on the Citizens Advisory Group for that. It interprets the 1942 era when the railroad building got changed for all the troop trains during World War II. It's a little bigger square footage, but I think the city did a pretty good job with the restoration of the train depot.
Well, that's a big event, really. March is kind of the train coming to Tucson month. February is kind of Fort Lowell, and we'll look forward to April. What do you think we'll be talking about in April?
Well, hopefully we're going to be talking about Miracle Mile, that we're going to have another Miracle Mile open event, and sort of ties in with Mr. Devine's talk, is how Miracle Mile was the gateway for the automobile and all the tourists and people coming to Tucson by car.
When the train came to Tucson, was it then that opened up? Was there regular service out of Tucson?
It was pretty much regular.
Or was it sporadic?
It was regular service. In fact, they were selling a complimentary first trip at a reduced rate so people could go over to California and back. So it was just exotic. If you think about the fact that how quiet Tucson was at night and during the day, and then you would finally hear the whistle of the train, that we really were connected with the outside world.
Got about a minute left to wrap up the Buckmaster Show, and I do want to give you another quick mention, Ken, because you do a great job with your talks. That's March the 13th, Trains and Automobiles in Tucson, How Fashion and Freedom Transformed the Old Pueblo. Ken will be giving his talk. That will be this Sunday afternoon.
Correct.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the Parkwise Conference Room, southwest corner of 6th Avenue and Pennington. Thank you, Ken Scoville.
Thank you very much.
I want to remind you that the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants located at 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on KJLL 1330 and at buckmastershow.com. Have a great day.
Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.